See if this sounds familiar. You and your friends are driving in a car, and you ask, "So where would you like to go for lunch?" The majority says, "Meh, doesn't matter to me." And then you make a choice, you pull into the restaurant, and you hear, "I can't believe you picked pizza again." Self-worth comes with the ability to make choices, stick with them, and take responsibility for them. When we allow others to make our choices, or we try to make choices for others, we feel powerless. When we feel powerless, we tend to blame or attack. In this session, we will learn how to offer children two positive choices in order to build their self-worth and increase compliance. So join me in learning how to help ourselves and our children move from blaming others, "He made me," into accepting responsibility. The skill of choices. Now remember, all skills have a power, skill, and structure or structures. So the power of this one is the power of free will, which states the only person you can make change is yourself. And as you can see, all these powers are going to start to overlap because they have one goal, to keep us in the higher centers of our brain more than we used to. So basically, we have a fundamental choice. Here's a fundamental choice. We're going to attempt to make others change, or we're going to change. So that's the biggest choice of all. Where am I going to attempt to make a change? Am I going to make you change, or am I going to make me change? So one of the things we do, we shift our question that we ask, how do I get the child to blank, is going to be shifted to, how do I help the child successfully do blank? And this is a big one, because I'll do radio or television or other types of questions, or I'll get magazines call me and say, you know, could we just get you to comment on this? And so they'll say, well, okay, well, sure. So the question is, well, how do I get the child to sleep in their own bed? You know, and usually you have two sentences, or if it's a radio, you have a sound bite, or if you do it on TV, again, it's a sound bite. And I have to go, well, you know, you're asking the wrong question. And so at time you go back and say, I can't answer that question. You know, I don't have a clue. You know, sometimes I say, try duct tape. You know, I can't answer that question because I don't know how you make another person do it against their will and be successful without causing harm. I really don't. So then I go through this whole ordeal and say, okay, well, let's ask a new question. Let's say, how do we help the child successfully stay in their bed? And let's brainstorm some ways to do that based on the temperament, the age, and your family dynamics. You know? So then the answer becomes very simple. And again, you know, people Google that on the web. They'll go, child stays in own bed. And you get all these kind of protocols, this enormous amount of information of like, well, you can do this and 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 this. And that's why I don't approach conscious discipline this way, because it's hard to say, how is it going to work in your family? How's it going to work with your child, with that age child, because you know them best. And that's why it's important that each of us as teachers, each of us as parents, learn to listen to our wise voice. But we can't listen to our wise inner voice that we've had all our life unless we ask the right question. How do I help the child successfully blank? How do I help the child successfully finish their homework? How do I help the child successfully stay in their seat through this project that we're doing at school? How do I help the child successfully calm themselves down when disappointment happens because they go into a rage almost every time? And then with that question, then you contribute to the brainstorming. You ask the child to contribute to the brainstorming. Okay, so I'm in a school. This is actually kind of funny because I thought this was going to blow up in my face for sure. So I'm in a school, and they had this classroom that to get from their classroom to the lunchroom, the quickest way in the school was to go through the auditorium. So there was a door here and a door here, so they'd walk through the auditorium. But when you walk through the auditorium, there's these steps that go up on the auditorium, and then there's these steps that goes down. So this is, I think, kindergarten. So the teacher's like ready to shoot herself in the head right now because it's, you know, it's been like 6 weeks or so, and at least every day you've got three or four that go up the steps, on there, and down the steps. And she's done everything. She's taken away, she's done all her rewards and punishments. She knows what to do. And now she's just crumbled into a pile of, I should have never been a teacher. And so I said, well, you know, I'm in the school, and I'm like, oh, let me help. So I go in there to the class, and I talk to the class, and I go over the problem, and I ask them, now, how could you, as a group, successfully go from your class to the cafeteria and walk straight on the bottom floor all the way across from one door to the next? So I define that, and they start brainstorming. And the teacher jumps in, and she's brainstorming. They come up with a list of stuff, and then they're going to vote on the ones that seemed reasonable. Now, what they threw out didn't seem reasonable to me, and often it doesn't. But here's with their idea. We're going to take a pillow from the safe place and put it on the step. And one person would carry it, and then when you come back from lunch, the person would pick it up. You know, and at first you're like, oh man, you know, I've never been in this school. You know, they've got three teachers following me just to stare at me. You know, I'm like a little fish in a little goldfish bowl. And I'm like, pillow on this? You're kidding me, kids. I mean, I didn't say that out loud. Out loud, I'm like, okay, let's just, you know, we'll go with that. But in my head, it was like, oh no. This is bizarre. So I thought, that's okay. In my head, I'm thinking, when they vote, they'll knock that one out. We're good. Oh no, they all voted. It was the pillow. And so here we go. And then we add a whole nother job to the job because that's the pillow carrier. And so now we got the job set up. And I'm telling you, they carried that pillow, put it on that step, and went on to lunch. And, you know, I heard from her like 6 months later, and she says, great idea. So it wasn't necessarily a great idea. It was, I changed the question, the kids got involved, which is called shared power. They had a say-so in it, and that's what they came up with. And no matter how much we want to judge them as just craziness, it worked for that class. So that's why it's important that we change these fundamental choices that we make and the fundamental question that we ask. So here's how we're going to start this song. Now, this is an echo song. So when the singer goes, when I feel angry, then it'll be your turn to go, when I feel angry, etc. So we'll just do a call and response. And we can just stay seated and get into it. Here we go.
When I feel angry,
when I feel angry,
I have a choice.
I have a choice.
To drain it out.
To drain it out.
Or be a star.
Or be a star.
When I feel angry, I have a choice.
Stop, take a deep breath, and relax.
When I feel sad,
when I feel sad,
I have a choice,
I have a choice.
To cry with mom,
to cry with mom.
Or receive some love,
or receive some love.
When I feel sad, I have a choice.
Scared.
I have a choice.
I have a choice.
To find safety.
To find safety.
Or ask for help.
Or ask for help.
When I feel scared, I have a choice. To find safety. Or ask for help.
All right, last one. Here we go.
When I feel happy,
when I feel happy,
I have a choice,
I have a choice.
To share a smile,
to share a smile.
Or wish well,
or wish well.
When smile or wish you well.
I wish you well.
I wish you well. All righty. Yeah. Okay, y'all clapped and there's no joy juice. Huh? Interesting. Okay, here we go. So how on earth did we get to the point where we feel that we could make other people change? And this kind of goes back to what we talked about in the last session. Often we will do the please me discipline. Now, please me discipline is when we say, do it for me. You know, if you're not really saying it out loud, but the implication is if you loved me, you'd listen to me. If you loved me, you would do this. If you loved me, this would happen. And this get implied lots of ways, as we've mentioned through the sessions, like, look how you made me feel. Look what you're doing to me. That giving our power away again is a big deal. So all of us grew up with those kinds of implications. I might not have come right out and said it, but they was implied. So on some level, each of us, probably listening, each of us in here, feel like if I could have been smarter, taller, thinner, happier, wiser, more athletic, more something, my parents would have been happier. Because on that deep, deep, fundamental choice level, they taught us that it's our job to make other people happy. And that's kind of ran our life. I mean, I know both my parents have passed away now, and there's still this remnants. I mean, they're not even here, so how on earth could I have them be happier than when they're not even here? But it's still part of my pre-programmed conditioned response. If I just could have done this, if I could have done that, Becky, if you'd just been a better daughter, a little better child or something, how many does that resonate with? Yeah. All right. So it's so important that we watch this notion, or we take this power and we grab it like we did at that very beginning, and we hold that ribbon tight that has that skill of choices on it, and understand that the only person I can make change, make happy, is me. So it's my job to make myself happy by managing and self-regulating myself and then offering my happiness to others. So if you want to inspire someone, become the person and inspire them. All right. So what happens when we make authentic choices? Now, there's a difference between the old way of doing choices and what I'm talking about, authentic choices. The old way was you get a positive and a negative choice, right? You eat the dinner or you starve. You go to bed or I'm taking the bed out of your room. I mean, so there was always this one or the other. You do what I say or you're going to the office. You line up now or you're going to be suspended. I mean, it's you come to this workshop and you don't hear it, but you hear, oh, I'll lose my job. So you show up, you know, and then you sit there like, oh, my God. Okay. So, but there's these choices, and one of them feels like you're being coerced, and some of them feel like, oh, I'm actually making one. There's a difference biochemically. There's a difference neurologically between those two. So if you think that you are making the choice from within you, not forced or coerced from the outside, it actually feels good and again does something very similar to being helpful to others. It activates that reward center in your brain, releasing a pharmacy of chemicals, dopamine included, which helps you feel like, yeah, baby, yahoo, and also says pay attention. So if you can see how with conscious discipline, when I say, let's shift from rewards and punishments and external motivators to shifting to internal motivators. It's based on science. It's based on research. It's based on neuroscience so that we're using the chemicals within you, the pharmacy within us. I guess we could say Walgreens are us. We're using the chemicals inside us to feel good about life instead of using stuff out here. So I say you got to learn these skills because each skill has a biochemical pharmacy behind it. And if you kind of do it differently, you lose the pharmacy. Does that make sense? Okay. So If you feel like you're making those authentic choices, you get the dopamine. Yahoo! You also get to improve your goal achievement, because that's what dopamine kind of drives, and all those other feel-good chemicals. You improve self-regulation, goal achievement, because it's driving you to spend more time in the higher centers of your brain. And this is why rewards and punishments inhibit this, because those choices feel coerced. Now, they don't feel coerced to a 3-year-old necessarily yet. They don't feel coerced to a 4-year-old necessarily yet. Some do. They don't feel that coerced, it's getting a little borderline, to a first grader, right? But somewhere up in there, second or third, when you go, okay, don't you want this little remote? Then you better finish your work. And they'll go, nope. I really don't care for remotes. So at some point, they figure it out. And when they figure it out, we've already trained them and we've already wired their brain in a certain way, because those first 7 years are huge. So what we want to do is we want to offer children choices, very authentic choices. But choices have the upside, which I just showed you, but choices also have a downside. It's called decision-making fatigue. And so we've learned this in research. So they did a study where these kids had to, here you can pick this or this, 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 you can pick this or this. And then they give them a quiz afterwards and they're like, I'm too tired. I mean, they're exhausted. So that part of us that makes these choices acts like a muscle. You can fatigue it. You can go over and work it too hard and it's still like, I'm done. And once that muscle is done, then it knocks this offline and now you're open to all your impulses. And this is what happens when you shop till you drop. Oh, look at the choices. Uh-huh. Look at the choices. Look at the choices. Look at the choices. Let's have a little lunch. You want to have a little lunch? Okay, look at the choices. Look at the choices. You know, by 5 o'clock, 3 o'clock, your decision-making function went offline. By 5 o'clock, you've got 14 extra bags that you're going to need help carrying to the car because your impulses got the best of you. So, and the same thing happens with kids. So, and you see this with kids. Kids go to school, and some of you, the parents, you might recognize this. They go to school and they do great at school. There's choices all day long. Choices to be helpful. Choices to this. Choices to obey the commands. Choices, choices, choices. And then as soon as they get off that bus and walk into that house, they have a meltdown, and they're most, you can't tolerate them, Harley, because they are so grumpy. You only get this part of them because they've used all this in doing those choices all day. And they come home and they're like, they have decision-making fatigue. So try to get them to make a helpful choice. Then it's like, oh boy. So what can we do? We want to make developmentally appropriate choices. We got to be careful that we don't give them too many choices. And certainly we can't give them choices that an adult should be making. And this is what I see too often. You want to spend the weekend with your mommy or you want to spend the weekend with your daddy? That will knock that decision-making system offline because that's the choice they can't make. So we've got to make appropriate age-related choices. So in conscious discipline, we just basically hold it to two positive choices. And two positive choices help the emotional state of the brain. So let me show you how this happens. So let's say we're all integrated. We're in a relaxed, alert state. Life is good, high challenge, low stress. Something happens. It's not kind of going my way. I don't crash all the way down. But I wanted to go sleep at my friend's house. Mom says no. And as soon as she says no, I feel powerless. What do you mean? I'm not running my own life. I can't make these decisions. So as soon as I feel powerless, I'm heading down. I'm heading down just like this. So, and from this state of powerlessness, we come out blaming and attacking, always. It's not like we're sinful, guilty people. That's the way the brain works. You feel powerless, you come out blaming and attacking. So what happens when a child gets in the emotional state? They're just starting to feel powerless. They're not all the way down here, trapped in a corner with a wolf trying to eat them. They're just starting. So the skill of these two positive choices, gives them almost, it's like the illusion, but it gives them a little teeny, we feed them a little teeny power just when they're about to lose it. So here's what it looks like. So you would go, you have a choice. You think about what you want them to do. So let's take a situation. Child's in the restroom with the finger up the faucet. You know that one? And the water's spraying all over the bathroom. Like this. So now you first got to think, what do you want them to do? Do you want them to pull the finger out? Do you want them to clean up the water? I mean, you've got to figure out what you want. You always start with what you want. But let's say we want the finger out of the faucet. So you go, oh, you have a choice. You can take your finger out and dry it on your pants like this, or you can take the finger out and use the wash, the towel, and dry it like this. What is best for you? So you're just kind of feeding them a teensy bit of power when they're just starting to feel powerless because you come in like this, looming. So we're going to come back to that two positive choices in just a minute. But what are we going to do backing up slightly? So what does all this mean about getting decision fatigue and the appropriate choices and stuff? It means one thing, and I really want to make this clear. We must have throughout our day, throughout our work day, our home day, and certainly our school day, you must take brain breaks. That muscle, decision-making fatigue, is a big deal. You know, I look at the president and I think, oh my gosh, who would want that job? And how, you know, all the decisions. I just look at me as the head of a company. And, you know, even though I'm not executing all the decisions, someone else is doing a lot of the foot, you know, work and executing them. I'm making them. Do you want this? We want this. You want, and I'm like, yes, no, yes, yes, no, yes, no. And then about 3 o'clock, I'm like, I don't know. Whatever you want. You know, it's like, I can just feel my brain just goes, I'm mush. And that's just this little teeny thing I'm doing. And a teacher at the end, all the decisions you're making all day, you can get decision fatigue by the end of the day. And that's, I think, why part of why we count down to, oh, 2 days to spring break. One day, 16 hours to spring break. We need brain breaks. So actually, let's do a brain break right now. So everybody stand up. So here's what we're going to do. We start with 5, 4, 3, 2, 1, 5, 4, 3, 2, 1, 5, 4, 3, 2, 1, 5, 4, 3, 2, 1. And then we're going to go 4, 3, 2, 1, 4, 3, 2, 1, blah, 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 3, 2, 1, 3, 2, 1. And the goal is to go, of course, as fast as possible. So we start with 5, work our way down to 1. Nail this thing. Ready? Here we go. 5, 4, 3, 2, 1, 5, 4, 3, 2, 1, 5, 4, 3, 2, 1, 5, 4, 3, 2, 1, 4, 3, 2, 1, 4, 3, 2, 1, 4, 3, 2, 1, 4, 3, 2, 1, 3, 2, 1, 3, 2, 1, 3, 2, 1, 3, 2, 1, 2, 1, 2, 1, 2, 1, 2, 1, 1, 1, 1, 1, have a seat. Yeah. Woo. Okay, so the skill of choices, we're going to give two positive choices instead of a positive and a negative. And again, it's two positive choices you feel like are acceptable. It could be instead of you have a choice. You can eat your dinner or starve. That's a positive and a negative. Or you could say you have a choice. You can sit back in your seat and finish your dinner. Or you can excuse yourself and put your plate by the sink. What is best for you? Now, I might give that, but you're like, not my house. I cooked it, you eat it. So you would have a different one. The point is, you have to say, what do I want that child to do? Structure two positive choices to achieve that goal that you, either one they pick, is acceptable to you. So again, it's hard to say what works best in what situation. But if you understand what you're doing, you can do it. Now, also what we want to do, we have the two positive choices, and we want to reframe blame. Remember I said as soon as you feel powerless, you're going to start blaming and attacking. Look what you made me do. She did it. She made me do this. So how do we do that? So let's look at that. We do that all the time. So obviously, the children will start blaming others. We've made that connection, right? We're modeling it, they're doing it. So a child might go, well, Erica made me do it. So have you heard that? She made me do it. I mean, I'm just riding with my friends. They made me, you know, or you were drunk. Well, they made me get in the car. Okay. You know, so it's always like someone else made me act this way. All right. So if they say to you, well, Erica made me do it, we simply go, oh, so Erica's the boss of you? Say that with me. Oh, so Erica's the boss of you? And they will answer in one of two ways. One, they'll go, well, no. Then you simply bring it back. What could you do right now to be helpful if you were the boss of you? That makes sense? Again, we're always coming back to this, what do you want to do? How are we going to get from here down to the goal line so I can cheer you all the way? And you might be heading this way, running the wrong way with the ball, trying to make a touchdown for the other team. But I'm going to turn you around. We're going this way, this way. So also you might say, well, Erica made me do it. So now what are you going to say? Is Erica the boss of you? And I'm going to say, well, yes. Yes. And then we're just going to simply reflect on that a minute. Take a moment, breathe, add that pause, and say, well, that must be hard to have someone bossing you around all day. That must be sad and very hard. And you leave them with that thought. So the next time you asked, they might say, well, no. Because you need to leave them with reflecting. Reflecting requires the higher state. You say, well, how do you do that with little kids since they don't reflect? Well, you model it. So we change how we behave, it'll change how they behave. But until we all flip over a bit, we're going to need that. So we're going to reframe blame. We're going to give ourselves more choices, because choice is really, when you feel like you've made an authentic choice, it really is empowering, right? It was my choice to come here. It was my choice to do this. And I came and I did it, and yahoo! So what we do then is we're going to change our shoulds to coulds. You know, I should go get the groceries. I should go by the store today. Change it in your head. I could go by the store. And then you go, okay, I could. Am I going to choose that or not? Yes. Then when you go to the store, you're not like, oh God, I'm at the store. You're at the store thinking, you know, I chose to come here. Let me see what I can buy. And you might actually leave with less junk, because you got your pharmacy working for you instead of against you. So the skills and choices. We're going to give two positive choices. We're going to reframe the blame. And we're going to change our shoulds to our coulds. Or our have to's to our could. I have to get this paperwork done today. Ah, I could get the paperwork done. What's your choice? Are you going to make them or not? But as long as we are putting ourselves in our head, talking to ourselves in our head in a way that puts us in a powerless position. I have to get it done. Well, who says? Who's running your life? You or whoever the have to people are? You could, and you're going to pay a consequence if you don't, right? We got to run our lives by choice instead of coercion. That's the bottom line. So watch this video of how this, and this is a teaching situation. Watch this video of how this teacher integrates these choices into just her daily life to keep everyone in the room more empowered and more able to make authentic choices within them.
We're going to try something again. There was a little bit of room here. And guys, this is an opportunity for all of us to learn. So if you could put your eyes up on me. And Jontavious, you're willing to help us? Jontavious wanted to get over there, right? Okay, and there was a little bit of space. What would be helpful so that he wouldn't step over his friends? Diego? Okay, you can ask them to scoot over, or you can walk to where there's space. Which do you want to do? Walk to where there's space? That's the safe way to do it, because when you're stepping over, it's scary.
So the structure, Remember, we have power, skill, structure. So the structure with choices is our visual rules, making them visual, because people say to me all the time, I can't think of two positive choices. Now, you know why you can't think of two positive choices? Because you're down here with a limited skill set trying to reach your hand up here and grab some wisdom. You can't find it. You can't. You have to regulate yourself, actively calm yourself, bring yourself up here, focus on what you want, make the choices around it, and you are a go. But all too often, we find ourselves here trying to reach and grab. So we can put these up to kind of scaffold our ability to give two positive choices. Some of them can come from Schubert. You may raise your hand to speak. You may take turns talking. But you may not talk while someone else is speaking. So we have the two and the negative. Now, the beauty of having these in images is when a child is talking, when someone else is talking, you can go back and say, you know, you have two choices here. Here they are. Which one will you pick? That is helpful. What you're doing now is hurtful. It's not safe in our classroom because we want to hear each person and what they have to say because each person is valuable. Or you may do something maybe at home. You may play by yourself. You may play with a friend. You may not hurt each other with words or actions. So then they know the choices. So when they find themselves in a situation where they're hurting each other, you can back it up. Okay, well, then you have a choice. It's not like you're trapped in a corner with a wolf coming at you. You have a choice. You can play by yourself, or you can play over here and use helpful ways, and I'll help you with your friends. Or you can just simply take pictures. And the beauty of today with our iPhones and our technologies, we can knock these pictures off in no time. So you can come down the slide by yourself. You can come down with a friend, but can't go up the slide. And again, I'm not saying whether you can go up or down the slide. That's your choice of what you think is appropriate for you. Now watch this video. And this is funny because what we do to children, they will do to us. Have y'all noticed that? What we do to them, they will do to us. And this is my granddaughter, Maddie, a couple years ago, maybe a year ago. And she has one of those little wind-up, you wind it up, and it, you know, the bug moves, those little teeny, with a little teeny wind-up thing. And she's probably only like 2.5. So it's very hard for her to wind those little things. But she loves to see them. The bugs do whatever they're going to do. So her mom, Julie, has been winding that for her all day, doing the little wind-up thing. And at some point, you know, you're like, let's hide the bugs, you know? I mean, it's like... So at some point, getting closer to dinner time, she says, Mom, would you wind this? And Julie goes, no, I'm done winding that toy. Watch this video and see what Maddie does as she offers her mom two positive choices.
You could play with the bug or the bunny. What do you choose?
So do remember that what we do to children, they will do to us. And I believe that Julie did pick one and, you know, Maddie got her good. All right. So here's where we are. We started off with composure. The skill that allows us to actively calm ourselves enough so that we can access our wisest self. So we have a choice to focus on what we want children to do so that we can encourage them every little step of the way. But no matter how much we encourage them, it's not always going to go that simply. They're going to balk on us. And they're going to go dig in their heels. So the skill of choices helps right when they start digging in their heels. They're feeling a little powerless. Let's offer two positive choices. Or their attention is so scattered. There's so many choices. Go clean your room. And they're like, oh my gosh, it's like us going into the garage and say, all right, clean the garage. You're like, oh my gosh, I can't even walk in it, you know? So it helps focus their attention and say, okay, you can start with putting your clothes in the hamper, or you can start with piling the toys on your bed, you know, just to kind of triage the situation, break it down into simpler tasks. But no matter what we do, they're still going to get upset. They're still going to balk. They're still going to be their own person. And the next skills that we're going to go with, which is empathy, will help with that. Another way to help yourself and children, a little bit older children, little teeny children, is to, again, with the Schubert books. So this is Schubert's Choice and Sophie Makes a Choice. Both these books will be helpful. It gives you the language and gives them the idea of how to make a choice, what a choice looks like, and how to make them developmentally appropriate. So here's our commitment for this time. All right. So imagine one more time the animal that you are at this moment that best represents you. I'm going to open my commitment box. Hold that animal, imaginary animal, in your hand and listen carefully to what I'm going to say. I am now willing to take responsibility for all my choices, even if they tend to feel coerced. I am still the one that's making the choice, no matter how I talk to myself in the head. And as soon as we learn how to make choices, we're going to allow children to make their own too. So I'm willing to take complete responsibility of all my choices, even if they feel coerced. If you're willing to do that, toss it in. And again, I've caught it. I've caught it. And as we work together, again, we move this planet forward to feeling less like a victim and more like an empowered person who makes a difference. Until next time, I wish you well.